Today we have an exclusive interview with the new United States Ambassador to the Holy See, Mary Ann Glendon, who presented her credentials to Pope Benedict last month. Prior to her appointment, Ambassador Glendon was Professor of Law at Harvard University. In addition to teaching at Harvard, she has also represented the Holy See in various capacities over the years, including her nomination as President of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences in 2004. Charles Collins asked Ambassador Glendon what effect her previous experience of representing the Holy See will have on her present position.
Most of the work that I did for the Holy See over the past several years has been as an academic, as a person whose scholarly work and research was concentrated in fields that are central to the common concerns of the United States and the Holy See, human rights in particular. So the big transition for me is really from chiefly academic work to a more public and political role.
But at the same time, you have gotten to meet many of the curial officials. What kind of relationships have you built up on a personal level with the people who work here at the Vatican?
Most of the relationships that I have had with members of the Holy See, members of the Curia, have been in the pontifical academies and in the Council for the Laity, the Council for the Family. So again, it's a change to begin to get to know the second section.
But have you met these people before? Perhaps some of the cardinals that are here in Rome?
Oh, certainly. In passing, I've met many people. And of course, I would like to think that over the years, I've acquired, in addition to a certain familiarity with Catholic social thought, a certain sense of the culture of the Holy See. Of course, only God really knows the Holy See, but I'd like to think that the contacts that I have made will help me in the new role of building on the relationship that exists between the United States and the Holy See.
Now, you have started your job, well, you've got a running start, because next month the Pope will be visiting the United States. How are the preparations going in the U.S. for this visit?
The planning for the visit is largely in the hands of the Holy See on this end and the American Catholic bishops on the other end. And as far as I can see, the preparations are well in place, and there's a good deal of anticipation on both sides of the Atlantic about the visit.
Well, you say there's anticipation. What has been the reaction in the United States to the announcement of the visit as it gets closer?
Judging by the demand for tickets at the masses, I would say interest is running very high in getting to know this new leader, spiritual leader, of the 70 million or so Catholics in the United States.
On a political level, the Pope will be meeting with President Bush in the White House. Can you tell more about this, and can you tell us more about this encounter?
The announcement from the White House is interesting. It's a very short announcement, but the wording is significant. It says that the Pope and the President will continue the discussions that they have been having about the role of faith and reason in advancing their shared goals. I think that's significant because the word continue relates to the fact that apparently the last time they met, they developed a personal relationship. They hit it off, so to speak. They both said afterward that they had enjoyed the conversation and the companionship of the other, so I think they have something to build on. And it's interesting that the announcement picked up the theme of faith and reason, which is so central to this pontificate. And then when the announcement went on to speak of the shared goals, it spoke of the common interest in promoting tolerance and understanding among cultures and religions. It spoke of promoting peace in the Middle East and in other troubled regions. It spoke of advancing human rights and especially religious freedom.
Now, you mentioned this faith and reason aspect. How difficult is it for you as the ambassador of the United States, which has officially separation of church and state, to talk about things like faith and reason?
One of the distinctive features of the American democratic experiment, and one that I think is of great interest to both the president and the Pope, is that our separation of church and state does not involve official posture of hostility to religion. So it's quite natural for an American to speak of faith and reason in our form of government, and I believe it will be an area where the president and the Pope will find a lot of common ground.
Now, another part of the Pope's trip will, of course, be in New York. He will be addressing the United Nations. He will be the third Pope to do so. What do you think the significance of this address will be?
In a certain sense, you could look at the program and say that it was centered around three audiences. The American public will be the chief audience for the remarks in the Rose Garden. And at the UN, the Pope has a world pulpit for whatever it is he wants to say. And judging by the previous visits of popes to the United Nations, that will likely be a very important message addressed to the world. But I think we shouldn't forget about a third audience, and what is probably, I'm just guessing, probably in the Pope's mind the most important audience, and that is the Catholic faithful in the United States. I would say the primary purpose of this trip is probably pastoral, and the Pope will want to give some words of hope and encouragement to American Catholics. And I also think that there probably is a less obvious fourth audience, and that would be Europe. I would not be surprised, you can tell me later if I was wrong about this, but I would not be surprised if, just as when Tocqueville came to the United States and wrote about the United States, much of what he had to say was addressed to secular Europe. I think we should watch what the Pope says and listen for those passages that are addressed to today's secular Europe, which we know is very central to the Pope's concerns.
Well, touching on that, the United States, as you mentioned earlier, the separation of church and state is not an anti-religious separation of church and state, while the secularism in Europe has developed sometimes to be seemingly anti-religious. What about the American experience do you think Europeans could learn from?
Hard to say. Again, going back to Tocqueville, he thought that it would be important for Europeans to know that the Enlightenment does not have to be anti-religious, and that democratic experiments do not have to be anti-religious, and that, in fact, a great society can be characterized by vibrant faith and vibrant political structures.
Turning to another issue, the United States, of course, we just marked the 5-year anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion in Iraq. The Holy Father has been calling attention to the plight of Christians and other religious minorities in Iraq. Last month, the Archbishop of Mosul, Paul Faraj Raho, was murdered, the latest in a series of attacks on the Christian community in the country. What is the United States doing to help protect religious minorities in Iraq?
As you know, both the President and the Holy Father issued statements after the murder of the Archbishop, and statements that are very much in the same vein, condemning the violence, condemning terrorism, and especially condemning religion as a pretext for terrorism. And, of course, both the Holy See and the United States have as a central concern the plight of Christians and other minorities in Iraq. They have both pledged to do what they can, but it's a very difficult situation when there are elements in the society that are determined to defeat the common aim of the United States and the Holy See. Now, after some initial disagreement, there is a common aim to promote the building of a free and democratic and stable society where persons of all religious faiths will be protected. But it's an uphill battle all the way. I think we are making some progress, but it's very, very difficult.
25 years ago, almost, is the United States established diplomatic relations with the Holy See. You are the eighth ambassador of the to the Holy See from the United States. What are your plans in the coming year? Are you going to do things to mark this 25th anniversary? Do you have other projects in mind?
We are going to mark the anniversary, and we're going to begin marking it this year with a series of four conferences that will lead up to the actual anniversary on January 10, 2009. The first conference is very soon. It's coming up on May 2nd, and we will be presenting it with the embassies of Costa Rica and Chile, and it will be devoted to a story that very few people know, the role of Latin American and Caribbean delegates in putting human rights on the agenda of the UN at the founding conference, and then promoting the Human Rights Project through their participation in the drafting of the Universal Declaration. It's a story that has been forgotten even in Latin America, and so we're hoping to lift up what we're calling a legacy of a great generation of diplomats, and we're calling it the Latin American contribution to the human rights tradition yesterday, today, and tomorrow, hoping through bringing a group of distinguished speakers together to reappropriate, engage in a kind of resourcement of the Latin American contributions, and then to speculate on that legacy for the future. So that's the first conference. Then a second conference in the fall will deal with a problem that still bedevils the human rights movement, a problem of great interest to the United States and the Holy See. How can there be universal rights in a world that is marked by so much discord and conflict among cultures and religions and political systems? We'll bring in some exciting speakers on that topic. Then a third conference will mark the 60th anniversary of the Genocide Convention. All these anniversaries are occurring around the same time. In December, we have the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration and the Genocide Convention. Then in January, the 25th anniversary of diplomatic relations. And for the Genocide Convention, we are still in the very early stages of planning, but we have this idea that it would be good to bring together some great thinkers to ponder why is it that as soon as you think that we have finally put an end to the idea that some lives are unworthy to live, the idea pops up again in a new form. So that would be a conference probably around December, the actual date of the anniversary, and then the grand finale will be in January, and we'll put that down as to be determined.
That was the new U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, Mary Ann Glendon, talking to my colleague, Charles Collins.